Europe's most loved and hated low-cost airline hits major rough weather, and how to finance our cities without raising taxes.
Cities are enormously wealthy. They are practically sitting on a gold mine.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Irish low-cost carrier Ryanair is loved throughout Europe for its cheap fares, a few dollars in some cases, but reviled for its extra costs, everything from baggage and meals to printed boarding cards. The airline has come under fresh fire after it had to cancel more than 18,000 flights. Boss Michael O'Leary explained why last week.
We're not short of pilots. We presently have over 4,200 pilots in Ryanair, but what we have messed up is the allocation of holidays and trying to over-allocate holidays during September and October.
But regulators and passengers aren't satisfied with that excuse. The BBC's Theo Leggett has more.
Ryanair carries more passengers than any other European airline. It markets itself, above all, as a low-cost carrier. Its flamboyant chief executive, Michael O'Leary, is well known for batting away criticisms of its service standards by referring to its low fares. But this crisis is proving harder to shrug off. About 700,000 passengers have been affected. And now Britain's Civil Aviation Authority has weighed in. It's accused Ryanair of failing to give its passengers the compensation they're entitled to under European law. CAA Chief Andrew Haynes has threatened legal action.
People shouldn't have to choose between low fares and legal rights.
Ryanair says the shortage occurred because it messed up its vacation scheduling. It's denied claims it's struggling to attract or retain pilots. The question now is whether cheap fares can continue to insulate Ryanair's brand from serious damage. In London, I'm the BBC's Theo Leggett for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets in Europe and Asia are mixed across the board, with Germany's DAX up 36 points to 0.28%. In Japan, the Nikkei closed up 96 points, or 0.5%, led higher by Toshiba, which inked an $18 billion deal to sell its chip unit to a consortium led by Bain Capital and Apple. Now, Brazil's government has raised over $1 billion from the first of several auctions for oil and production rights in the country. One big buyer was Exxon, the world's largest oil company. Daniel Gallis reports from Sao Paulo.
ExxonMobil made one of the highest bids, snapping up 8 new offshore oil blocks. Wednesday's auctions were seen as a crucial test for President Michel Temer, who has been trying to attract foreign investors with a series of pro-business reforms. Brazil is in desperate need for cash, as the country is facing a severe crisis due largely to its fiscal problems. But the auctions caused controversy and protests as well. A group of environmental activists scuffled with security staff inside the hotel in Rio where the auction was taking place. Next month, Brazil will sell off another group of oil projects as part of a wide program of privatization. In São Paulo, I'm the BBC's Daniel Gallas for Marketplace.
Crumbling bridges, shabby schools and struggling hospitals. Cities need funds to thrive, and those funds most often come from higher taxes, debt or austerity. Well, a new book argues it doesn't have to be this way. Dag Detter is co-author of The Public Wealth of Cities.
Cities are enormously wealthy. They are practically sitting on a gold mine. But we don't have any city anywhere in the world who really knows what they own. They know what they owe in terms of debt, but nobody has a treasure map, if we call it that, which is a list of assets and a valuation of those assets.
That seems extraordinary. A balance sheet is what you're talking about. Cities don't have them. Why not?
The balance sheet was invented 700 years ago, and that enabled us to create capital markets, which led to the invention of capitalism. But the funny thing is, the public sector has never adopted this fundamental innovation.
So give me some examples then, in terms of cities that are using their wealth effectively.
Copenhagen is probably the most recent one. They've taken part of the harbour plus rather big military garrison, and they transfer that into a holding company.
They didn't sell it?
No, they didn't sell it. They transferred it, which is the important point here. But you can't do this inside a government because a government doesn't have a balance sheet and it doesn't know how to manage commercial risk. So they need to have an institution, almost like a central bank, that is dedicated to this one thing, to manage that commercial risk. And then they can enter into commercial agreements with private sector developers, but not give away away and undo wealth, public wealth, to the private sector. So Copenhagen did this, started 30 years ago, and today they see the result of this because it has developed the whole harbour, and the yield from this has been able to fund the metro system. We have a number of cities now in the US that are looking into this just for the purpose of really regenerating their cities, which are in badly need of better infrastructure and maintenance for the infrastructure.
That's Dag Detter, previous president of the Swedish holding company Statum and co-author of The Public Wealth of Cities. Finally, the Playboy Mansion is a sadder place today with the death of founder Hugh Hefner, age 91. His adult entertainment empire reached its peak in the 1970s with 7 million magazine subscribers. In the end, it wasn't the feminists, but the internet that doused passion for the bunny brand. But he'll retain his glamour in the afterlife. He'll be buried next to Marilyn Monroe, whose nude pictures he published back in 1953. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.